Need some, yeah. So there's a one-man band back there doing all kinds of things today. So, praise the Lord. Thank you, Sarah. What a storm we had Wednesday night. I missed most of us, but sure hit Jeff and Karen. It tore them up really bad. It was amazing. Not a good deal by any means. And they're still, I think, recuperating from it. Yeah, still cutting trees. She said limbs out of some trees in the back here. Well, I see. Okay. Gotcha. Well, yep. Praise the Lord. That was something else again. So, Father, we ask that you never allow that to happen again. In the name of Jesus, we give you glory. It's done. It's over. Amen. We're tired of these storms coming through here and causing massive problems. As Rebecca, just before the rain that was real heavy earlier, went through her apartment, and her apartment was all flooded. She's gone right now because of, I think she's with some friends going somewhere. So Omaha, yeah. So, but anyway, praise God. Just bless her and bless her friends. And she was working on that. It was really tough for her because I don't think she's ever had that happen before. And she said even her rugs are still poured up the last time that I knew. And it was a mess in her apartment. So it's one of those deals that the enemy is coming after and causing problems. We know that Bill and Donna are down in Florida yet. They're going to be flying back tomorrow. They said that there's not too much rain. It's just more or less that storm that's going through is a kind of light, so it shouldn't stop them from flying out. So they'll be here back hopefully tomorrow night. So praise the Lord, and we pray that God's doing good and magnificent things in everybody else's life. Things get better, and the ones that are having some issues and problems. And we just thank you, Father, for all that you're doing. We just give you glory for everything. Praise the Lord. We're glad to have Brian here. So Brian Nadler, he's here for a while and just enjoying and having fun and going to learn a bunch of things and go from there. So on June 30th, Sunday morning, I've been teaching on the anointing prior to that, but on June 30th, or just before June 30th, the week before, I talked about traps. The Lord had showed me a vision that said the season is full of mines, and then I seen a field of mines, a minefield. That's where explosives are at. You're walking along, and all of a sudden, blue, you get blown up. Not a good thing. And it just seems like that's what's happening. There's a lot of stuff going on right now. Things are going normal, and all of a sudden you hit a spot and it just whack, kind of blow things up, cause things to have problems. That's kind of the season that we're in. That's the vision that I received from God. That Wednesday night, as we talked about traps, it was a real good time of talking about how we fall into these traps that the devil has set up for us. And what's happening. And as I prepared today, I just said, well, Lord, what's happening? What's going on? And it's about the anointing. Anointing is still the presence of God. It's what we need to really walk in more and more. The more anointing, the more revival, the more issues happen in our lives that get better, and the more the enemy comes after us. I've seen that too. I had one person say, I don't want to be like you because if I do, I'm going to put up with a lot of stuff I don't want to put up with because he sees me go through a lot of stuff. Well, you know, that's a bad thing. You don't want to be that way because when you're in the midst of it, and outside looking at it might even seem worse, but when you're in the middle of it and you understand the truth, it helps you break through and get through a lot of these issues that are going on. 2 Timothy 2:19 through 26, if you want to read that there. That's New Living Testament.
I can read it off the paper, Sarah. But God's truth stands firm like a foundation stone with this inscription. The Lord knows those who are his. And he knows those who claim they belong to the Lord must turn away from all wickedness. In a wealthy home, some utensils are made of gold and silver, and some are made of wood and clay. The expensive utensils are used for special occasions. The cheap ones are for everyday use. But if you keep yourself pure, you will be a utensil God can use for his purpose. Your life will be clean, and you will be ready for the Master to use you for every good work. Run away from anything that stimulates youthful lust. Follow anything that makes you want to do right. Pursue faith, love, peace, and enjoy the companionship of those who call on the Lord with pure hearts. Again, I say, don't get involved in foolish, ignorant arguments that only start fights. The Lord's servants, which is us, must not quarrel, but must be kind to everyone. They must be able to teach effectively and be patient with difficult people. Yeah. They should gently teach those who oppose the truth. Perhaps God will change those people's hearts, and they will believe the truth. Then they will come to their senses and escape from the devil's trap. For they have been held captive by him to do whatever he wants.
This is a scripture that we used back in June 30th on a Sunday morning. And as I was going back through and reviewing and seeing what's going on, I thought I'd bring it back up again. Because it's really important. We've been talking about foundational truths. Foundation is what Jesus laid. And when anything you build on a foundation, you need to build on the foundation of Christ. Because anything else, you're building up something wrong. In fact, that was one thing that happened when I was listening to the, the Final Call, which is a prophetic dream. And Rick Joyner had said he'd seen Paul, and Paul even said, Rick Joyner said to Paul, he says, I follow Paul. I follow what you're doing. And he says, problem is you shouldn't be following what I'm doing, because the blocks that I build are my blocks, unless they come from the Lord. And he said that if you try to build something on those blocks, they'll fall. Now, I've done that before. I went back through, and I've taken scriptures. I showed a wall or a block, and the scripture is what builds the block. The understanding of that scripture is the middle and the foundation or the structure of the block. It's what makes it strong. So many times we throw a word out this way or a word out that way, and we stand on this word, we stand on that word, but yet we're still missing the wisdom, the knowledge in that block that makes it to where it works. And if you start to build up on those blocks, it'll crumble. And it doesn't really do what you want to have happen, because you don't have the full foundation, the understanding of the full foundation, working together as one. I've done that. It's been interesting. I had somebody tell me, well, you need to teach on this subject. You need to teach on this subject. And I says, I don't feel like teaching on that subject because I ain't got nothing. If I don't have anything, I don't teach on it. It's like me trying to teach you how to be thin. I'm not thin, so it's probably not a very good thing to teach you on. If you're going to go lose a lot of weight, you don't go to some big, heavy-set person out here and try to learn how to lose weight, because you probably aren't going to learn a lot. Find me a trough, I'll go eat. Just being honest with you, I like to eat. But there's a lot more to it that's causing that to keep me from losing weight than just the eating. Some of it is, but there's other things, biological and everything else, that comes into place. It's just like that. There's a block. There's a block out here. I'm fat because I eat. Yes, that's true. But today I'm older, and what I used to do, my body is biologically changed, so I got to change things to meet my biological need. So you can't just say, well, quit eating, because I can quit eating and starve to death and still not be fat, or still be fat. I might die fat because I'm not eating, because you need to eat. There's a lot of principles involved with what's going on, but we don't always see the principles, so we stand on our understanding or the Word of God or whatever else we're saying, but we're missing the whole process inside because we don't want to take time to figure out exactly what's going on. So when I was listening or looking in that scripture again, I'm thinking, wow, it didn't catch me the first time I read that before, but yesterday when I was preparing for it, it did hit me hard. It said, the key to this word of God is a foundational stone. A foundational stone. Anytime you find a foundational stone, the word of God, it's going to give you wisdom and knowledge, and you can build on it, and it will work. But you've got to understand the full foundation. You got to know what it is, why it is, understand the wisdom and knowledge I've talked about before. With knowledge, total knowledge. Total knowledge is the knowledge as well as wisdom. You get knowledge with wisdom, you've got something you can use. If you don't have the wisdom along with the knowledge, you've got a lot of knowledge, but it doesn't always mean it's going to work for you. So that's just one of those areas. But it said a key of this, you know, the key to the Word of God, this Word of God, is a foundational stone with this inscription. The Lord knows who are His. The Lord knows who are His. That's a good place to be. So, then I ran across that, and it said, and this is all New Living Testament. It might say a little bit in different versions. You have to figure that one out. But in this one, it was saying one other thing. It says there's a second part to that. And he says, and those who claim they belong to the Lord must turn away from all wickedness. Whoa, that caught me when I read that. Two things. One, whom which the Lord knows who are they are. They're His. They know who they're His. There's a second one who claims to belong to the Lord. But in this thing, it says, must turn from all wickedness. That really got me. I started praying about that. Start seeking that. Start finding out what's going on. Because it's so important. When you give your life to Christ, immediately, the Bible says we're saved. So that we belong to Christ. But this scripture is saying that God says He knows those who are His. So how do you really define who is it which the Lord knows and who is the one that says they claim to be the Lord's? There's a difference. Why? How do they claim? Because they gave their life to Christ. So now I'm the Lord's. Wow. If you go back to Howard Pittman, a lot of wisdom there. What happened to him? What happened when he got before the Lord? He says, I've done all these things. I'm yours. I just want to go back and do my... No, he says, who do you think you are? You've done it all for yourself. You would make it to heaven. That was not the case. Yes, they'd make it to heaven. That didn't say they wouldn't make it to heaven. He says, but they must turn from all their wickedness. The first... Presume the first one, which is the Lord knows who are His, presumes faith and love and peace, pursues faith, love and peace, and enjoys the companionship of those who call on the Lord with pure love. Have perfected righteousness. So if you look at the Lord knows who are His as the ones who perfected righteousness. The second one who claims that belongs to the Lord has not perfected righteousness. So you don't realize how important righteousness is. We talk about it a lot. We've talked a long time about it. We've said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. That's how important it is about righteousness. I said, wow, that's interesting. Then it goes on down and also talks about the foolish. You know, in 23 it says, and they're getting, you know, and they're getting involved in foolish, ignorant arguments that only start fights. And 24, the Lord's service must not quarrel. How many Christians quarrel? How many Christians complain? How many people who belong to God always want to fight about the word, talk about the word, say this is wrong, that's wrong? What is that about? See? Why? But it says you must not argue or quarrel, but must be kind to everyone. They must be able to teach effectively and be patient with different people and patient with difficult people. How can you be patient with difficult people? We've talked about this quite a few times. Only by the love of God. If you can love people the way God loves you, you can do it. If you can't, then there's a question. You don't have love in you. That's what it's all about. I mean, that's simple. I'd rather tell you now and get you to the point where you need to be than being up in heaven and finding out, oh, I should have dealt a little bit more in this issue and taken care of it. But I'm just, you know, this is what the Lord was showing today. You must be able to teach effectively and be patient with difficult people. You should gently teach those who oppress the truth. How many times do we get mad at people who don't agree with what you know is true? Get upset. Whoops. That's not what it says. You mean you should gently teach those who oppose the truth. Perhaps God will change the people's hearts. Again, it comes down, not you. Only one person can change the heart of those people. And that's God. We've heard it before. Was it in Proverbs or Proverbs? It says that, you know, the hand of the heart of the king is in the hand of the Lord, and he can turn it whichever way he wants, just like the river. That's what it's about. But sometimes we want to get in and beat them up and tell them, listen, you got to hear what's going on. You need to know this. You need to know that. If you don't need this, if you don't need that, what is it saying? Why is it saying you should gently teach those who love or who oppose the truth? How are you going to gently teach somebody that doesn't want to hear what you got to say? How do you do that? How's it going to be effective? How do you gently go after it? You go back to Ephesians 4:2. Humble, gentle, patient with the difficult of the different people because of your love. It's the love. It's all about the love. See, the love deficit in the world today is so bad. If you come in and you start showing your love and you know, you can show the love of God, that's what people are looking for. That's what they want. They don't want to hear religion. They don't want to hear all about this. I was at a man's, it was over here on Lower Beaver. It used to be an airport there, and they had some hangars. Well, he was renting one since it's no longer an airport. It's not even there anymore, I don't think. But he was renting one, and he was a mechanic, and I knew him. So I brought my cars to him, and I was standing there, and the neighbor next door came over and started beating me over the head with the Word of God. He started telling me I need to be a Christian. He started telling me about all these different things. I mean, I felt like he took the Bible and boom, 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 boom. When I got through, I didn't want to be around that guy again. I could care less to be around him. He wasn't doing it gently. He didn't even ask me if I was a Christian. If he could have asked if I was a Christian, could have asked if I'd gone to church. No, he didn't. He just started beating me with the word. And if I'm not, you know, I was a Christian, and I work with people, and I'm thinking, wow, he must really destroy a lot of people and push people away because they, you know, most people around him would not even want to be close to God if that's the type of God that they're going to have. You need to have the love of God flowing through you in such a way when you say things, it's going to make a difference. And that's what it is. Because see, it says perhaps God will change these people's hearts. How do you change a person's heart? You allow God to do it. How do you do that? The easiest way you can do it, and I'm telling you right now, this is what I'm hearing in the Spirit. The Old Testament says, break up the foul ground. What is the foul ground? Their heart. If you go back to planting seeds, what does seeds do? Many times they take and you throw seeds out on a ground that's hard, and what happens? The bird comes, pick up the seed, and steals it. It is not going to produce nothing until that ground becomes soft and accepting the seed. So that's the very first thing you need to do is you need to pray. You need to praise God and worship Him for that person. If you pray and worship God for that person and thank Him for that person, might drive you crazy. You might hate that person. It's like the one time I said there was this poor guy. He's a big guy. He just came to a church. He was always looking for the pastors. Praise God, I didn't have to talk to him. But I was praying for him one time at a meeting, and all of a sudden, I mean, he was bigger than I am. And his van he had outside was packed full. I could only sit on the driver's side. So you know there was an issue there. Nice guy. God loves him. God designed him. Got messed up somewhere. So I have a heart for him. So I took and we were sitting there and all of a sudden he'd go and be praying. He'd go, whoa, Jesus, and about knock you off your feet. And I'm glad he was far enough away he didn't hit me in the head because I've been gone. That's why the pastors run whenever they see him coming in instead of having, hopefully we could find somebody to help him. Prayed for him a lot. But you pray for him. God can change them around. You break that foul ground up because, see, all the seeds that fall on the heart that's hard, boom, waste of time, waste of seed. You got to find and understand. And this is what God's saying. You have to be gently, you know, you should gently teach those who oppress, you know, to oppose the truth. Why? You need to show the love of God. For that love, for the prayer, for the intercession, boom, breaks the hardness. What did Thurman do? He went to the heavens for 2 weeks and gave him to God and bound the spirits and broke everything down. And what did God do? Honored his prayer and came down and changed his heart. Why? His heart was so hard he didn't want to hear nothing. He said, I don't want to hear about it. Boom. All of a sudden we came down. He touched his heart. It's the same thing. The guy I was at, this one store I was working at, or one place I was working, and he was in this cage doing a parts man, and I was talking to a guy who was probably just out on this, about as far as from here to the outside of the building, and I was saying, I wish we had a Christian radio station in this town. And that guy heard me, and he blew up, and he says, no, I don't want anything to do with God. I don't want a Christian radio station in this town. I mean, he just blew up. I wasn't talking to him. But that seed landed on that hard ground. So I started asking God. I says, God, how in the world am I going to talk to him? See, you have to be gently teaching these people. I said, I'm going to teach it. I'm going to go talk to him. Can't talk to him. He's going to blow up whenever I say something. So finally, I asked the Lord, and the Lord told me. He says, go tell them those no good Christians won't be here much longer. I've told the story before, and I said, whoa, I don't want to say that. That's not Christian-like. Why would I say something like that? I'm bold. I'm not bold. I'm meek. I don't want to say nothing like that. That might hurt him. He might think I'm crazy. I didn't know what was going on. He said, say it. I said, okay. So I prayed a couple days later. He said the same thing. And I says, I don't know if I can do that. Finally, about the third time I prayed and heard the same thing, and there was an open door. He was standing there, and I says, Craig, I says, you don't have to worry because those no good Christians won't be here much longer. And he turned white, scared him to death, because what had happened, his mother and his wife, mother-in-law and wife, had taken him to the Distant Thunder, which was done over here in First Assembly, about the rapture. And it scared him so bad, he didn't want to be left behind. But they had beaten him over the head with the Word of God so much, he had hardened his heart to God. But God opened that door of breaking that hardness down to where he could receive what I was saying. And cautiously, I talked to him, and we ended up having a good relationship. I don't know where he went, but it opened a door that you could not open before because God gave me the word to say what was going on. You don't know why they're mad. You don't know why they're upset, but we have the understanding. Be gentle, be patient, and realize that only God can change the person's heart, but you have an opportunity to do what you need to change it. That's what's so important. And they, and believe, you know, change their heart and believe the truth. And then they come to the senses, their senses, and escape from the devil's trap. For they have been held captive by him to do whatever he wants. That's where he is. They're in the devil's trap. They're all, you look at these people. I mean, we're seeing this one program going on now. I think it's out in Vegas, SLAP, they call it, where the guy stands there and they hit him as hard as they can, knock him out. And they just slap him as hard as they can in the head. You know, that's going to shake your brains up. You could have some brain damage after all that stuff. What are they doing this for? Lack of God in the world today. They're looking for pride and strength and everything else, and I'm a man and I'm doing better, but see, they don't have the understanding of God in their life, and that's where it's coming from. It's a trap of the devil to destroy them, to show, well, I'm so good, powerful, I can take this, I can take that. No, that's not what it's all about. It's a trap. It's another reason we need to just go forth. You know, but I want you to know, God knows who you are, but do you? Do you know that God knows that who you are, that he is yours, that you are his? Are you just saying that you claim to belong to him because you're still dealing with wickedness? You might say, well, I'm not wicked. I'm not doing all that stuff. You get angry. Whoops. Do you want your own way? Whoops. You want things like what you want? Whoops. Yeah, this is some revelation here. The anointing of God is here to change and bring forth understandings. I like that in Timothy 2:23, which is King James, it says, but foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do gender strife. And I thought, gender strife, that's weird the way to say that. So I went back to the concordance to look it up, and it meant parents, parenting. It says, means to parent battles of fighting. In other words, you are the creator. You're the one that brings it forth. If you start to do foolish and unlearned questions and it starts to come forth and you start to deal with them, you start to bring that stuff in, you're parenting it. You're the one that's producing it and bringing forth. I thought that was the gender strife. Gender strifes. I just said, wow, what is that? And that's what the concordance said. Parenting, fighting. Whew. How many times have we done that? You want to parent love, and peace, and joy, and happiness, and meekness, mildness, kindness. 2 Timothy Yeah, that was that one. I have watched this happen to so many people. They fell into the trap that was deception, and they refused to change because they were angry, upset, hated. They had problems that they just could not overcome. And people that talked to them, they just refused. They rejected it. They didn't want to hear. They didn't want to go. That's when you start to bring out the big guns by binding and loosing and breaking and destroying and asking God to break up the foul ground in their heart. When you do that, we can do that. Sometimes it's never talking to people. It's just like that one guy that you couldn't talk to him. Thurman prayed for 2 weeks, taking him before the Father, just binding him up. God came in and changed his heart. And then he came and he said, "What church you do?" And he went and he told him, and he went in there and he got saved. Five guys got saved after that. Why? Because he said, if he got saved, there's a God. And I'm going to believe. I'm going to get saved too. You know, six people out of one person for 2 weeks. What kind of power do we got? But we want to argue, complain, not do what we need to do, and see what doesn't happen. And we watch the enemy comes in with traps that gets us upset and angry and mad and waste our time and do all kinds of stupid things. I'm talking about myself. I don't know about you. I'm just being honest. In 1 John 2:3 and 10, "He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For the purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil." That's, man, if you ever get the full revelation, maybe you got it. If you got it, praise God. Go tell somebody. Teach them. Teach them this. They need this. I don't care what you, they have all the wisdom they know. If they don't have this, they're missing part of their foundation, and it won't hold up. It will not hold. This is a foundational rock that needs to be put into everybody in such a way. It says, "For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil." I'd been going a long time. I've heard that preached. I've taught about it. I went down through there. I went after this. I said, "Man, this is horrible. This is, I didn't say it was horrible. I said it was great. That Jesus come to destroy the works of the devil." And then one day it hit me. What's the works of the devil? What is the works of the devil? What is his purpose? To destroy us. To divide us. To make us quarrel and anger. Anything less than to love one another. That's his purpose. But it's basically sin. To separate us from God. That's his whole purpose. That's his work. That's what he's designed himself to be. Because he became a father, a creator of division, which is sin. Very simple, very understandable. Once you have that, when you sin, you just immediately gave your, you gave up what Jesus did. That's why there's a repentance. When you repent, God will bring you back into relationship again. Many times we've got sins and we get angry, upset. We just go on and we don't ask God to forgive us and get back into our love walk. And the devil has a heyday because he's controlling you. He became your father. People don't realize that. You want to argue and complain? Just enjoy your father, the devil. Arguing, complaining is not of God. Anywhere you show me in the Bible, it means that we need to be, he loves a good, cheerful arguer and a complainer. One that gets mad all the time. One that's never satisfied all the time. That's what he likes. Says his word says that. But that's what it comes down to. And he goes down to say, 9, whosoever is born of God does not commit sin. Wow, that is a slap in the face. I'm in trouble. I commit sin. I'm not a sinner saved by grace, but I still sin. Bible even says if you say you don't sin, you're a liar. Because God knows us. That's sad, but he knows us. It says, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. Well, I'm born of God. I've asked Jesus Christ into my life. The Spirit of God has come in me. I have the seed in me. And I start saying, what is the seed? What is the seed? The seed is righteousness. The nature of God. Adam had the nature of God. There was no sin. He was given all authority and power and walked all the way through those years there in the garden. See, again, it comes down to Adam being male and female. Not just the man, but both together. The male and the female, when God came down, spoke to both of them, not just Adam. It wasn't until the sin there was a division between male and female. The sin division between male and female. When that happened, immediately Adam said, the man became Adam and the wife became Eve, mother of all children. Prior to that, it was not. It was one. Now they got divided. See, sin divided. Everything from there has been division. Everything the devil tries to do is divide. Tries to divide you, your spouse. Tries to divide all the situations going on in your life. Tries to divide you from the love, peace, and joy that you walk in. That's his main job. But Jesus was manifested so you didn't have to go that way. That's the good news. But see, that seed, and we don't see it, it is the presence of God in us, which is the Holy Spirit. He has transformed us from a sinner into a righteousness of Christ. From the sinner into the righteousness of Christ. See, when Adam sinned, the nature of God went back to heaven, which was the Holy Spirit. As soon as you ask Jesus Christ in your life, that same Spirit, because born again means come from above. Born means from above, or comes, and again means from above. So the Spirit that left Adam now comes down into you, which is the presence of God. You say, oh, I wish God was here. He's here. He's in you. If you don't understand that, you got a problem. He's in you. His righteousness is in you. And it's so important for the righteousness in this season. If we have not perfected the righteousness and understand this foundational truth, boy, we're going to have massive problems. I tell you right now, we're going to have massive, massive problems. For the purpose of the Son of God was manifested that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whosoever is born of God does not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. Your soul is born of God. Your flesh is not. That's why you cannot commit sin. It is not you committing the sin. It is your fleshly desire that the devil has a hook on. It's causing the problem. And the difference is transferring that fleshly desire over to our soul unto us. See, we always, so many people say, oh, I'm rotten. I'm no good. I didn't do. No, you didn't. You didn't do that. Your flesh did. You started to allow your flesh to do those things because you have not produced righteousness. I'm sorry. That's the whole problem. That is so important. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Kingdom of God is your authority and your power, and righteousness is the way you're going to walk to change this world, change your life, change situations in everything that you've got. If you don't do those two things, you've got a lot of problems in your life. And you will continue to be miserable, and you'll continue to have problems, and you'll continue to go crazy. I'm sorry. That's just point blank what the Lord is saying today. It's time for my children to become righteous, to receive righteous, to get in that place to where I can bless them like I've never blessed them before. That's one of the areas that has happened. You're going to get revelation from God on this. You have to have a revelation, because this is my revelation. You have to get your own on that one. Because in 10, in this, the children of God are manifested. What are they manifesting? The seed that remains in them, manifested in the Holy Spirit and righteousness. God's nature, righteousness. And the children of the devil, whosoever does not righteousness is not of God. Oops, over here it says, those who claim they belong to the Lord must turn from all their wickedness. How do you turn from all your wickedness? When you start to walk into righteousness. Pray the Lord gives you revelation on that. It says in 10, in this, the children of God are manifested. What are they manifested? Into righteousness. Into who they are in Christ Jesus. And the children of the devil, whosoever does not righteousness, does not manifest themselves into that. Why? Because the heart is too hard to receive the truth. The heart is too hard to receive the truth. Neither he that loveth not his brother. A corporate anointing will only work when we're fully manifested, when we walk in righteousness of Christ. Now the thing is, see, when you don't love your brother, that means you are not walking in righteousness. When you have somebody you just can't stand, you got to better be activating your body or your mind real fast and your spirit to get closer to righteousness, because you're not walking in righteousness. That can be a hard word to hear, but it's true. Galatians 5:22-26, but when the Holy Spirit controls your life, you will produce this kind of fruit in us: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. There is no conflict with the law. For those who believe in Christ Jesus have nailed the passion and desires of their sinful nature to his cross and crucified them. If we are living now by the Holy Spirit, let us follow the Holy Spirit leading in every part of our life. Let us not become conceited or irritated or irritate one another or be jealous of one another. Right there, you look at the body of Christ. Problem! I'm just telling you the truth. Do you want the body of Christ to change? You want the revival to happen? There's a reason it hasn't happened. Because the people aren't lining up. More of the people are this other way. What is the other way? Those who claim they belong to the Lord, but they're not walking in righteousness. Wow. You know, I'm not coming against anybody here. I'm not saying anything against anybody here. That's not the point. I'm just putting out what the Lord is saying at this time. He's wanting revival to happen. He wants the power of God to move. That's why he showed me the serpent that's around Des Moines. And he said it's the pastors. Because they are not walking in righteousness. They're not walking towards one another. They're upset. They're all You know, they just aren't walking with the love towards each other. And that is a hindrance to God's revival. That's exactly what he said. Then in Romans 6, 19 and 23, I speak this way, using the illustration of slaves and masters, because it is easy to understand. Before you let yourself be slaves of impurity and lawlessness, that's before you did that, you now must choose to be slave of righteousness so that you can become holy. People say that we're holy, holy priesthood. Well, according to that, you won't become holy if you're not submitting yourself to righteousness, to the nature of God in you. People have gone through church for years and learned all kinds of stuff. They know scriptures, they can quote up and side down, but they still aren't righteous. They're not holy. Yes, Christ is in you and it made you holy. But the majority of them are still in the place of proclaiming to be Christ or the Lord's, but they have never perfected that in them. This is serious. This is deep. Most people, you know, this is meat. If you want to get down to meat, this is meat. This is milk. This is meat. And it depends on whether what you want to do, your desires, whatever you want to have happen. 20, in those days when you were slaves to sin, you weren't concerned about doing what was right. And what was the results? It was not good, since now you are ashamed of those things that you used to do, things that ended in eternal doom. But now you are free from the power of sin and have become slaves to God. Now you do these things that lead to holiness and result in eternal life. For the wage of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus, through, you know, Jesus our Lord. As I said with Pittman, I hate to keep using it, but the fact is it's real. It's a fact. He did it. He was there. The Lord told him. Everything he did, you know, because he'd given his life to Christ and he was doing what he was doing, he was going to make it to heaven. But everything was going to be tested by fire. And when I heard that one time, you have to get your revelation from God. Don't take it from me. Just knowing that this is what I heard. He says the fire is to test all the works that you did through my love, through me. And what did he tell Pittman? He says, all your works have been burned up because you did it for yourself. He never did it for me. If we've never asked the Father, what do you want? And step out past our own will to do what he wants us to do, even though it's uncomfortable. I've had to do that a lot. I wouldn't be sitting here if I didn't do that. I wouldn't be having this word if I hadn't have done that. Because today I would have rather stayed in bed and forgot about it. That's how bad it was. In fact, Debbie had to wake me up. I think I would have overslept. In fact, I was oversleeping. The alarm went off. I was going to get up. Next thing I know, she says, are you going to get up? Why? I'm under the broom tree. Yeah. Telling you right now, I'm under the broom tree. I'm in that area where the flesh is trying to take over and cause massive problems. I'm in the trap of the devil. I got to get out. I'm just telling you the truth. I'm only here because I love God and I love you guys. If I didn't love you guys, I wouldn't be here. And there's things happening that just seem hard and difficult. And I just have to keep pushing and trusting the Father on everything that's happening. But I want you to understand, you have to get this revelation. When you sin, it does not come from you. Well, I did it. Yeah, you did it. It's just like the guy on Laugh-In. He always said, well, the devil made me do it. One day the Lord says, no, the devil wanted you to do it, but you did it. Okay, big difference. The devil wanted you to do it, then you did it. You decided whether you're going to do it or not. But see, the righteousness inside you is not sinning. It will not sin. It cannot sin. So the more you're sinning, the less righteousness you got. Good gauge. Good way to find out what's true or what's not true. That's the first thing we're supposed to do. If we haven't got it done, we're in trouble. And I have to deal with that right now because my flesh is up more in arms than it's ever been, and I'm just really having a hard time with it. But I know my flesh, myself, the holiness in me, is fighting strong to change that around. And I thank God for forgiveness that I wouldn't be able to go. Otherwise, I'd probably be in hell by now. War is hard out there. It's getting harder. The devil doesn't want me to say anything to the pastors of this city because he might get changed around. And he's going to lose big time. So the war on me is getting harder and harder and harder, and I know it. And I have to fight it off. So I'm saying, okay, I'm just telling you, you guys are going through as much hell as I am because of what's going on in the world today. And I'm trying to tell you right now, the more righteousness you have, the less you're going to have to deal with it. It'll still be there, but you'll walk through it a lot easier. That's what I have to do is get into righteousness. I have to break myself away and listen to words. Or, you know, for me, it's listen to music. I get in music and I can break some of that pressure and everything else that's going on without it. Sometimes it's people reading the word. Some people are just sitting there talking to somebody else can help them change. Whatever you got to do, do it. Don't sit there and let the devil take you down. Because this is a season for him to do it. He says even if the elite can be deceived, they'll be deceived. I'm just putting it down. This is what I'm hearing in the spirit that's been going on. That's what he wants to bring forth today. But you're not the one that's sinning. It is your fleshly desires. Your fleshly desires getting more strong all the time. Because the enemy is trying to bring forth the sin into your fleshly desires to divert you from what God wants you to do. It's time to change. Time to get back into righteousness. It's time to seek righteousness. I said, well, I've already got righteousness in me. Yes, I know, but are you changing? Are you letting it have its way in you? If you're not, then time to let that happen. Then you'll see what's going to happen. 1 John 3:9. Anyway, whosoever is born of God does not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. You have to get that in your spirit. You're not sinning. It's your fleshly desires sinning. You get rid of your fleshly desires. That's why Paul says, I die daily. I'm taking those fleshly desires, nailing them to the cross and going down the road. I don't want to do it. I don't like to do it, but I'm going to do it because I'm going to crucify my flesh. And that's what goes on. It's a fight. It's a big fight daily. Also, I came up with, there was a time I was reminded of some things happening, and I started thinking about it, about a time I was driving from Des Moines or Oskaloosa up here, an hour and 15 or 20 minutes. I drive 12-hour night shift, and then I drive back to Oskaloosa an hour and 15 minutes. And normally, when I was going back through in Pleasant Hill, there was normally the next one over, whichever one was the town just down the road off past the land, the landfill, the next town down there. They always didn't have the four lane at that time, but they had a motel there. So I'd pull off in the parking lot and take a nap, because by the time I drove 12 hours that night, I was pretty exhausted trying to go home. So I'd stop and take a nap. I was driving down the road, and all of a sudden, where the old airport used to be out there on 161, or 163, sorry about that. All of a sudden, I was thinking I was pulling in the parking lot, and I heard some gravel. It flipped my car around. I went sliding down the hill, and when I got down there, I pulled out of there, pulled over between the roads, and I said, I can, you know, because I was praying for a job anyway, because I'd already realized I can make $7.50 an hour and have the same amount of money driving all that way for all that time and be home. So I was praying for a job, and I couldn't find a job. And at that time, I got serious with God. I says, God, I need a job, and I need it now. See, when you get serious with God, you get serious with us. Ask, and he'll show you the truth. And that's what happened. I did that, and within 2 weeks or less, I had a job right there in Des Moines, or in Oskaloosa. The same, I was making the same money doing an eight-hour job that I was driving up here for 12 hours, then driving 12 hours and driving back. And I what I do when I drive back, I would eat, nap, take a, you know, go to bed, get up, eat, and drive. And that's all I did. I had no life. And but I got serious. I was praying prior to that. Nothing happened. But then when I got serious, God got serious with me. Sometimes we aren't serious enough. Sometimes we say things the wrong way. Many times you pray, I need this, I need that, this is happening, that's happening. And the problem is you're not praying the right way. It's just like the time I was in the hospital. And I said, Father, why did I have a stroke? That don't make sense. I'm not supposed to have a stroke. Why did I have a stroke? He says, because of your prayer. I says, my prayer? He says, yeah. He says, what did you, I said, well, what prayer was that? I don't remember having a prayer of a stroke or being in the hospital or anything like that. He says, no. He says, haven't you prayed whatever it takes? He says, you're not going to die until you get everything done that you want on this earth. I says, yeah, I've been praying that a lot. He says, well, he says, getting this place up and going is what you're called to do at this time, and you're giving up on it. And he says, because of that, I guess you're getting ready to come home. Whoa. That blew me away. My prayer, I didn't think would ever put me in that position. But it wasn't my prayer. It's because what I was having happening, because I was losing what I was saying. It was coming against the prayer that I was saying. It's just like the time I've said before in a Sunday school class. This people were all praying for all this. This lady, and she was mad. This guy was absolutely mad. We were praying for her, and we're having word for her that she's going to live. This is going to happen. That's going to happen. Everything's going on. And all of a sudden, she dies. And he was mad at God because she died, because he gave people words for her, and he gave all this stuff going on. And all of a sudden, I was sitting there, and it's the first time I started to hear in the spirit that clear. And I heard just ask him, did all of her children get saved at the funeral? So I said, did her children get saved in the funeral? Because I was timid and quiet and didn't know what I was really doing. I was just trying to follow what the Lord was showing me. And they said, yes, they did. And then the Lord said, I was honoring her prayer. And what do you mean honoring her prayer? She'd prayed whatever it takes to get my children saved. She didn't say my death. She just said whatever it takes to get my children saved. Whoops! Open form prayer. God will do whatever he has to fulfill your prayer. So you might have a prayer going on that has just been trying to be fulfilled, and you're going against it, and you need to figure out. How do you do that? Get in and ask the Father. Find out what's going on. Why is things happening? When you pray, pray precisely. That's what I did with a car. I said, Father, I need a car that I can afford, is financially in good shape, and will be good for us. I got an old station wagon. It was blue with a rusty top, and the inside was falling down, and it didn't have a radio. But, you know, we could afford it, and it was the best car we could have. It taught me something. Start asking precisely what you want. So the next time I said, Father, We need a nice car with good paint, good interior, and a radio with an AM, FM, and a cassette tape player. I wasn't on a CD by that time. I said, thank you, Father, and one that we can, you know, afford as well. Well, guess what? We got one. Blew me away. I'm thinking, wow, this is cool. So we keep asking more precisely. So you might say, Lord, take care of this or take care of that. No, get precise with God. The more precise you get, the better off he's going to open up the doors for you. And just say, Father, if I prayed anything that is hindering me from receiving what you've got or what you want to give me, show me so I can get rid of it. Because there are prayers out there that we prayed when we were immature, as we grew, and probably are hindering exactly what's going on in our lives. And there's things that we probably didn't want to do, so we're not going to do it, and God wants you to do it. He's just waiting for you to say, okay, I'll do it, so he can bless you with stuff. That's the other thing. I tell you, it's amazing when you start to pray and ask the Father. Why? You have the Holy Spirit in you. You have the presence of God. God is in you. You wish God was in this room? He is. He's in every one of you. You don't have that revelation? You need to get it. Why? Because when you stand here or sit somewhere or you go pray for somebody, guess what? God just entered the room through you. When you go into a restaurant, God just entered the room through you. And if you know it and understand it and you show the glory of God it through you, through your love, your peace, your joy, guess what? It's going to happen. About blew me away. I think I said it the other, a while back. We were meeting with Apostle Stephanie for lunch. And she came up, and the waitress was there. It was a lady. And she says, we're about ready to pray for our food. Do you have a prayer request we can include? I haven't heard of that one before. That was pretty cool. I've used that since then, but not always, but once in a while. And all of a sudden, she says, yeah, I do. She says, I just broke up with my boyfriend. She said, well, we'll put that in there. Man, that young lady really changed. So you're gently proving what God has for her is help in troubles. And that wasn't offensive. It didn't say anything about God. We're just wanting to bless you. We want to show you God's love. I about fell over. I said, it's that simple. I didn't even think about that. Sometimes we learn from other people that are going through those processes. Also, a team of Jews who were traveling, and that was Acts 3. Did I read that one already? Want to read that one?
A group of Jews were traveling from town to town, casting out evil spirits. They tried to use the name of Lord Jesus in their incantations, saying, I command you in the name of Jesus, whom Paul preaches, to come out. Seven sons of Sceva, a leading priest, were doing this. But one time when they tried it, the evil spirit replied, I know Jesus and I know Paul, but who are you? Then the man with the evil spirit leaped on them, overpowered them, attacked them with such violence that they fled from the house naked and battered. Oh, mercy.
I use that for one reason. If I heard a pastor one time speak about it, and I believe it to be true. They knew Paul. They knew Jesus. They didn't know them. Do the demons know you? Do they know who you are? What do they think about you? What kind of power, what kind of authority do you have? How much do you believe the Lord is in you? When you're doing it, do you believe the Holy Spirit is going to cast the demons out? Do you have that much faith? Do you have that much belief? Or are you just praying, hoping that God will do it? If you're praying to help God, hoping God will do it, that isn't right. Because the Holy Spirit's in you. You've got the authority and power. You release that Spirit of God to go forth and to cast those spirits out. And this man was talking one time, the reason they knew Paul and Jesus, of course Jesus was the Son of God, so they knew that, but Paul was because of his prayer. because it's dedicated to Christ, because his righteousness that he was walking in, because of dying to the flesh daily. He knew. They knew him. They knew the power of God was in him. They knew the righteousness that he walked in. They knew him. That's why they said, I know Jesus, and I know Paul, but I don't know you. Because, see, they were just going around doing some of the things that everybody else says. And I've watched this with Christians. They're going out and they're mimicking many of the things that they've been told to do. But they don't have it in them. They don't have that ability to achieve it because they don't understand it. Again, it's that block, the foundation. I can cast out demons in the name of Jesus. In fact, a lot of them, I can cast out demons by the blood of Jesus. Whoa. That time when the deliverance, when I was casting a demon out, he was a strong one, and I told the pastor to go get the blood, and he anointed the blood on the forehead, and he laughed at it. Threw that one right out. That block went, break down. Bleed the blood. Don't work. Didn't work. What am I going to do now? So I had to find me a new block, new understanding to make it happen. I did. I found the word of God that said, in my name you will cast out demons. So there are times the blood of Jesus will cast demons out. But a person that stands only on that, one of these days, they're going to get beat up just like the seven sons of Sceva. Tell you what, that don't work. Because they laughed at the blood. That spirit laughed. I asked the man that I was mentoring me, and he says, yeah, it's a spirit of perversion that laughed at the blood of Jesus. It was perverted. And he says, you can't cast him out. It has no power over him because blood only cleanses and purifies. This thing is powerful. You needed the power of the name of Jesus to best cast him out. We got him out, praise God. But it was an understanding. But see, my block, bleed the blood, boom, broke. That's what happened to many people. They're trying to stand on the foundation that they've been taught. They ain't got enough stuff inside to make it solid, to make it work, because it's the wrong foundation. And then the last one, Mark 10 or 11, 22, and Jesus said to the disciples, have faith in God. Whew, have faith in God. Many people believe in God. Many people talk about God. Many people pray. But they really don't have the faith that what they pray is going to happen. If you have people say, well, I just prayed, I'm believing God's going to do this, but you just lost all your faith. They don't have faith. Could be God's going to do it. Nope, that's no faith. God's going to do this when? Nope. You don't understand. You need to get yourself grounded, rooted and grounded in the righteousness and the love and the understanding what God wants to do and what he has for you. That's where it comes down to. So when you have faith in God, I assure you that you can say to this mountain, may God lift you up and throw you into the sea, and your commands will be obeyed. Now, I'm telling you right now, I'm hearing from the Holy Ghost right there. This is what the Holy Ghost just put in me, and I'm not trying to be holy or anything. I'm just trying to say, this is God's teaching, not mine. He wants you to remember. Wow. Strong anointing on this one. Remember that God had Jesus die on the cross for one thing, to wash you free of all sin. Sin has no effect on you, but only when your testimony lines up with the blood, you become the overcomer. Otherwise, your testimony is not right. You're not going to be the overcomer. The devil will be the overcomer. I never had it said it that way. I've never put it out that way. But the Lord says it's your testimony that most people lose and will not allow this scripture to work. It says, have faith in God. I assure you that you may say, that you can say to this mountain, may God lift you up and throw you into the sea, and your command will be obeyed. Your command. How can your command be obeyed? Because you are the holiness of God, walking in the righteousness of God. You have the presence of God in you. You speak. You are the hands and feet of God, the mouth of God. And when you speak, God wants to do it. He wants to do it greater and better than you've ever wanted to have done. But you have to be in that position of walking in the blood, knowing that the blood cannot change it. The sins will never affect you. That's why when you walk into the third heaven before the Lord, it's because you're covered with the blood. But the problem is, we get uncovered because our flesh jumps outside the blood and starts to bring in the ungodly things into us through our traps that we get caught by the devil. Our attitudes and our situations going on can cause that to happen. That's another story. May God, and all that is required is that you really believe and do not doubt in your heart. Listen to me. You can pray for anything, and if you believe, you will have it. But when you are praying, first forgive everyone you must hold, you're holding a grudge against, so that your Father in heaven will forgive your sins too. Why? You cannot do it if you're holding a grudge against somebody. Your sins won't be answered. Plain and simple. Huh? Oh, the prayer, yeah. The sins will be answered all the time. Sorry. Good. I'm glad you woke that up, or got me going that way. But your prayer will not be answered if you still have sin. And this is what the man said. It's when you're in prayer. When you're in prayer and you're seeking the Father, you're going to hear directly from the Father and no outside influence. If you're not in prayer and you just say, I want this, I want that, and you command this or command that, it might not work. But when you're in prayer, you start to change your attitude to what God wants, not what you want. And he'll help you along that line. So this has been kind of a lot of meat today. So maybe things you've known, maybe things you've understood. But the Lord's saying, time's coming. If you don't want to be in that righteousness and doing what you're supposed to do, it's going to change things dramatically. I also have made some decisions on working on trying to break the groups up into two places, and what I've come up so far, and it could change. I'm going to do it this Thursday, and we'll see how it works. If we have to, we can change it. No, it's this Thursday, because we're not doing anything Wednesday night. I know. Understand. So what happens is, I've talked with Pat, and he said he could change the prayer to 4 o'clock. Is that right? Does that work, 4 o'clock? And I talked with Chris, and he said he could change the Bible study to 5 o'clock. And we're going to have 2 to 4. We're going to have one family fellowship, because we're going to have a lot of people, like with Myrna, that doesn't want to drive at night, so we can go that way. And then after Bible study, we're just going to have a family fellowship. Now, it might not work very well, and if it doesn't, we'll change it. There's things I've got to change things once in a while. It doesn't always work. So kind of let us know what happened as we go along, and we'll do it this week, and next week we might have something different. But we'll keep praying and believing and seeing that God is going to do some tremendous things. So praise the Lord, praise the Lord. And we'll go from there. So on Thursday at 2 to 4, if you want to go to that family fellowship. If not, it'll be from 6:30 to 8:30 on Thursday night. And we'll go from there. So praise the Lord. And we appreciate everything. So Father, in the name of Jesus, we come before you. We thank you. We give you glory, honor, and praise. We give you full glory. And we ask that you bless each and every one and keep us all safe until we meet again. And those who are out traveling, be with them as well. In the name of Jesus, amen.